morning. Glad to see everyone here with us this morning. If you are visiting with us, you are indeed our honored guest. So glad that you are here. And hope, my friend, that you will be back any time that you have the opportunity to be so. We've been discussing over the last several weeks, with the exception of the week of our gospel meeting, what the church looked like. Last week, we discussed what the church will look like in love. And the lesson before that, we discussed what the church looks like to Jesus. Over the course of our study, friends, over what the church looked like, we studied a number of ways that the church behaved in benevolence, evangelism, conflict, faithfulness, and so on and so forth. Also that you and I could better put those things into practice here in the 21st century. When we studied what the church looks like to Jesus, we came to the conclusion that even after 2,000 years, Jesus still looks at us, looks at His church as His bride. He looks at His church as beautiful and pure because Paul says, Philippians 3 and verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven. From it, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, when Jesus comes back, it's going to be for His bride. And when He comes back for His bride, friends, the great marriage feast will take place between Him and His church, which we have a picture of through John's eyes in Revelation chapter 19. He will take us home. Our faith will become sight, our hope will become reality, and we will spend eternity in the presence of our God. Heard someone tell the joke one time about a preacher and a song leader in discussing heaven. And after worship services one morning, the preacher complimented the song leader on a job well done. And the song leader in turn complimented the preacher's message. And as the conversation went on, they began debating which one of them had more important tasks in worship. And finally, the song leader said, well, you know what? I've got a job in heaven. What are you going to do? Friends, so what will we do in heaven? That's our question this morning. What will the church look like in heaven? Will we just sing forever? What will we do? What will the church look like in eternity? Friends, answer that question this morning. Let's open our Bibles together and let's study this from the biblical perspective. Let's see what the Bible has to say about what we will look like and what we will do in heaven. First of all, this morning, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Friends, number one this morning, concerning what the church will look like in heaven, number one, we will be changed. We will be changed. Look with me at 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 50. 1 Corinthians 15, 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Friends, while here upon this earth, we are given a natural body, sometimes referred to in the New Testament as a tabernacle. In other words, a temporary dwelling. Tabernacle literally means tent. Tent has never been meant to be more than a temporary dwelling, has it? So we have given to us a natural body. But as Paul alludes to here in verse 50, our natural body, as it is planted, will not be raised a physical body, but rather a spiritual body. Look with me at verses 51 through 53. Look at what Paul says here. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. What's Paul telling us, friends? What's he telling the Corinthian brethren at that time? He's telling us, friends, that we will receive a spiritual body. The body that goes into the grave is not the body that's going to be raised. He says even if Christ comes again and we're not dead at that point, we're still going to be changed. Our physical will be changed into something spiritual. It's going to be changed into something that is uncorruptible, something that is eternal, that cannot be destroyed. The natural body is sown, it's planted in the grave, and the spiritual body is what will be produced or raised up. Friends, when we look and we study this together, we see that we are sown a perishable, dishonorable, weak, and frail natural body. Anybody that woke up with aches and pains this morning can tell you that. We have a frail body. But friends, we are raised on the last day. When we have that day looking forward to go to heaven, friends, we are raised a spiritual body that is imperishable, full of glory and power, Paul says. So someone asked the question, well, what's that body going to look like? What will our spiritual body look like? Look with me at 1 John 3 and verse 2. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. The apostle of love writes, behold, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Prince Paul, or John rather, tells us that we just don't know. We're not absolutely certain as to what our spiritual bodies will look like. We don't know exactly what that body will be like, but listen now to what Paul says in Philippians 3 and verse 21. He says, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body. It will not be flesh and blood. It will never hunger. It will never thirst. It will never tire. It will never get sore. It will never wear out. It will never grow old. That's what we know about the spiritual body. Our natural body will be transformed. It will be changed in outward appearance, that is, to be like the glorious body of Jesus Christ. Now, friends, while we don't know exactly what the spiritual body will look like, I believe we get a small glimpse of what it might be like in Matthew 17 at the Mount of Transfiguration. In Matthew 17 and verse 2, when Jesus' body was transfigured before those that were there, we see the word transfigured there, and it's slightly different. And it means that Jesus' appearance was changed to match his inner deity. They were able to see his deity, in other words, in my mind anyway, they were able to see his deity shine through to some degree. Just as Moses was changed to a bit on that mountain, his glory faded, if you remember, as he came down the mountain. The glory of Jesus will never fade. We get a glimpse of what it might be like there. Now friends, although John wrote that we don't know what our spiritual bodies will look like, we get that glimpse being allowed to see Jesus change before his eyes as John was. But then here's a significant part of it to me in our discussion, as it pertains to our discussion this morning. Notice that Peter, James, and John recognized Elijah and Moses. You know, one of the questions that I've asked quite a bit, and one of the most often questions that I think most preachers are asked, will we know each other in heaven? I don't think there's any way to deny that we will from Matthew chapter 17. Moses had been dead about 2,000 years. Elijah had been dead somewhat 800 years, maybe a little longer than that, somewhere in that time period. He had been dead a long time. And yet we see Peter recognizing Elijah and Moses, knowing exactly who they were. So what does that tell us, friends, about our bodies? What will we look like in heaven? I'm not completely sure. We cannot know for certain. But we will look like Jesus, we're told that. And we're going to have a glorious, spiritual, and friends, recognizable body. We will be able to know who one another are. than he is. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3 says, everyone who thus hopes in Jesus purifies himself as he is pure. We're going to have a pure, glorious, powerful, eternal body. What will the church look like in heaven, friends? We will be changed. Number two. What will we do in heaven? What will we do in heaven? Friends, we can understand these concepts. We can understand them while we may not totally understand. We can understand the concepts, but we may not totally understand them when it comes to practice. Let me clarify. For instance, in Revelation 7 and verse 15, we understand that in heaven, as we're given again that glimpse through the eyes of John, as he's able to peer into that holy city and what's taking place there, we understand, number one, that we will serve God. We can understand that concept, now, friends. Now, I don't know, and I don't think anyone knows exactly what all that's going to entail. I can't tell you what kind of service will be rendered, but I can promise you this. Those that are going to be there, number one, are going to have truly loved God while in the flesh. And so that service to God, it's not going to be boring. It's not going to be mundane, and it's not going to get old. There is no sin in heaven to keep us from fully serving God. We will see the excellence of His greatness and comprehend the magnitude of His majesty. Friends, the service that we will be able to render in God in heaven will be thrilling, it will be fulfilling, and it will be extraordinary. You know why? Because we will be able to see face to face the God that we are serving. How truly wonderful and awesome will that be? To finally be able to meet our God face to face. Number two, we understand from Scripture that we will be served in heaven. Look with me at Luke 12 and verse 35. Luke 12 and verse 35. Jesus gives us here a picture, and He gives really a command to His disciples. Notice what He says, "Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning." In other words, don't be caught unawares. Be ready. Friends, when Jesus returns, He will receive those who are ready. Those that are prepared. He will receive them into heaven, and He will make us happy there and serve us. Think about that for a moment. What did Jesus do while upon this earth with those that followed Him? He served them. Friends, there's no reason to expect it to be any different in heaven. Friends, remember that we will enjoy the wedding feast of the Lamb and the Bride, Revelation 19. Again, a picture there given of heaven. When we sit at the table to celebrate, He will serve us. These are terms that we understand. Turn with me back to Revelation 7 and verse 17. Revelation 7 and verse 17. "For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Friends, we will be served in heaven. Now, friends, beyond that, I can't answer any question that you might have. Number three, what will we do in heaven, friends? We will worship God. I'm not going to take the time to read them in their entirety, but I would encourage you, friends, to understand this concept, to read Revelation chapter 4 and 5. What will we do in heaven? We will worship God. Stand there in Revelation 7. Look with me at verses 9 through 12. "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen." Friends, we understand from Scripture that we will worship our God in heaven. Now, the 24 elders, friends, there represent the total of the redeemed. We will worship the Father and the Son. We sing the song, and oftentimes in heaven they sing a what? A new song. In Revelation 7, 9 through 11, we see a beautiful picture of the church. A multitude that could not be counted. And the angel standing before God praising Him. And friends, it will not get old. It will be a joyous occasion to serve our God and worship Him for eternity. Number four, what will we do in heaven? Friends, we will rest. We will rest in heaven. Turn with me, if you will, to Revelation 14. And look at verse 13. Revelation 14 and verse 13. John writes, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Right blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." In Hebrews 4 and verse 9 we read, "There remains a Sabbath rest for His people." Now friends, don't get me wrong, we're not going to be lying around on couches or taking afternoon naps. We won't rest because we're tired. On the seventh day, God rested. Now, friends, we're talking about an almighty being. Was God tired? I don't think so. In the giving of the old law, the Sabbath was established so that man could rest. Not so they could laze around. Not so they could take their ease, so to speak. But on the Sabbath, friends, it was a day for them to reflect and meditate and be renewed in God as their Creator and Redeemer. That's the idea of rest in heaven. To be able to reflect, to be able to meditate and be renewed in God as our Creator and Redeemer. That is part of the purpose of us gathering here today. To be able to worship our God. To be able to meditate upon Him. To be renewed in Him. Friends, why did the apostles set for us the example to come together every first day of the week? What was the purpose in that? So that you and I would have the strength to go through the rest of the week. To be able to lean upon one another. To be able to gather strength from one another. To be renewed in God. That's why we assemble upon the first day of the week. That's why we reflect upon the death of Jesus Christ. That's why we offer prayers before the throne of God. That's why we open and study God's Word together. That's why we give of our means. To reflect upon what God has done for us. And meditate upon Him and be renewed in Him as the Creator and Redeemer. Friends, in that rest that we will have in heaven, there are no distractions. I'm not naive. And neither are you. I understand that our mind wanders even as we sit here this morning. Friends, we don't have to worry about that yet. Our minds will be solely focused upon God. In heaven, because of our changed bodies, we will be so focused on God and being fulfilled by Him, it will be all God all the time. Friends, that is perfect rest. Perfect rest. In heaven, we will be busier than we have ever been as we serve and worship God. And yet, at the same time, we will be more rested than we have ever been as we find that perfect renewal in the Almighty God. What will we do in heaven? Friends, we will rest. We will rest in our God and Father and in the Son, Jesus Christ. What will the church look like in heaven, friends? We will be changed. We will serve God. We will be served, we will worship, and we will rest. You know, when we think about it really, and we compare heaven to the Lord's church today, not much is really going to be different in the fulfilled kingdom of God, is it? We serve God here, and we will serve Him there. Christ serves us here, and He will serve us there. We worship God here, and we will worship Him there. We have fellowship one with another here, and we will have fellowship one with another there. We learn here, and friends, we will learn there. Romans 11, 33 and 34, Colossians 2 and verse 3. We have rest and peace in God that passes all understanding here. And we will have rest and peace there. The only difference, friends, but it's a big one, is that it will all be perfect there. You see, our physical bodies still wear out. Our physical bodies still get old. Our physical bodies still get tired. But friends, in heaven, that's not going to happen. Our bodies will be changed. We'll have a new body so that we can serve God with no distractions, no hindrances, no fears, no division, no enemies, no threats, no worries, no need to be watchful. And so, because of that, we will have perfect rest. Our souls and minds will be at rest. But friends, rest assured. Rest assured that if we don't find joy in those things here, you won't be in heaven to enjoy those things there. Friends, if you don't enjoy singing, what do you expect to do in heaven? If you don't enjoy assembling with the saints, what do you expect to do in heaven? If you don't like your brothers and sisters in Christ here, friends, you're going to be awful alone in heaven. Or I should say, friends, you're not going to be there anyway. You see, we the church, those that have obeyed the gospel of Christ, we're going to be busy in heaven. But since there will be no distractions, we will find rest. I want you to read with me Revelation 14 and verse 11. You see the contrast given there. Revelation 14 and verse 11. It says, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest, day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Friends, that's a picture. Remember, the Revelation is written in signs and symbols. The beast and his mark, as I consider it, is to be the Roman emperor there and what he does to the church and his empire. Now, the picture as we see it, the idea is there, friends, of a great contrast between heaven and hell, isn't it? Notice again what John writes. The smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. There is no end. And they have no rest day nor night. There is no reprieve. You know, I've often heard it said, and I believe it really to be true, that if I were to know that hell would be 1,000 years long, I could endure it because there'd always be a light there at the end of the tunnel. Even if it were to be 1,000,000 years long, I could endure it because there's a light there at the end of the tunnel. But friends, what we need to understand about heaven and hell is that when the day of judgment comes, when Christ returns and the earth is burned up with the fervent heat and everything therein, and He comes and He takes us before the judgment, before the throne of God. Friends, when sentence is passed, that's it. We will either spend an eternity in hell or an eternity in heaven. There is no life at the end of the tunnel. There is no end. The smoke of their torment ascendeth forever and ever. They have no rest day nor night. Friends, think about that as we can, as far as we can in our finite minds. I can tell you, and you probably already know, that in the last 5 weeks I'm more sleep deprived than I've ever been in my entire life. I forgot what rest feels like. But friends, that can never compare to what it will be like if I find myself in torments rather than heaven. I want to do all that I can to make sure that I am doing everything within my power to be like the church that I read about in the Bible. So when Christ does return, I will know then, without a shadow of a doubt, what the church will look like in heaven. Because I'll be there before the throne of my God, raising my voice in praise unto Him, worshiping Him, serving Him, and being served by Him. Let's put away our Bible. Let's take out our song. Let's ready to sing the invitation song here in just a moment. Friends, God told Moses in Exodus 33 and verse 20 that no man can see me and live. But friends, in heaven, it's seeing God face to face. We will finally be able to realize our faith and our hope. It is seeing God face to face that gives life and promotes great awe and worship. And nothing will be able to compare to the glory that is revealed to us there in heaven. Romans 8 and verse 18. But friends, I have a simple question this morning. Are you a member of the body of Christ? And friends, the reason I ask that question is simple. We read in our New Testaments, in our Bibles, that Jesus gave His life's blood for His body. And we understand in Ephesians 1 and verse 3 that all spiritual blessings are found in Christ. In other words, in His body. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. Now, are you in His body? Are you receiving the forgiveness of sins, which is one of those blessings in Christ? Are you receiving the grace of God, which is one of those blessings in Christ? So, friends, are you getting the idea? There are no spiritual blessings outside of Christ. And friends, rest assured and understand this, that if on the last day we are not found in the body of Christ, we'll be like those in Revelation 14 and verse 11. And the smoke of our torment will ascend forever and ever, and we will have no rest day or night. Friends, would you have the rest that is granted and offered in Christ Jesus? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God? Do you want to know and see with your own eyes what the church will look like in heaven? What His church, friends, the one that He died for, will look like in heaven? Friends, then you need to obey the gospel. Put Christ on in baptism, coming in contact there with His blood, rising again to walk in newness of life. Friends, would you do that this morning? Would you become a New Testament Christian? Friend, are you here? Having obeyed the gospel, but as you sit here this morning, you find yourself wondering, Christ were to come today, if I were to die today, I don't know where I would be. Friends, that's not a good place to find yourself in. Because if you don't know, then friends, you're not saved. You're not in the saved state. Because John tells us that we can know. We can rest assured in the promises of God. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, His blood continues to cleanse us from all sin. Friend, would you come home out of darkness? Come back into the light. Walk in the light as He is in the light. Repent of your sin, friends, and He is faithful and just to forgive you your sins. Would you do that this morning? Be His again. Friend, if you have a need to obey the gospel, to repent of sin, friend, or if you just need the prayers of the church, we ask that you come right now while we stand and while we sing.